I will once again gavel the meeting to attention. This is our September 1st, 2020 regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission. We will now come to order. We will pause for a brief invocation and we'll proceed to the Pledge of Allegiance. Father, bless our endeavors, especially at today's meeting. Guide us in our discussions. Enlighten our minds in every decision that we make. Give us your grace that we may effectively do our parts as public servants. Bless our plans, programs, and projects so that we may achieve our objectives for your greater glory. Now for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. First item on our item of business is the agenda. The chair will entertain a motion.
Mrs. Coles, I make the motion that we adopt the agenda.
It's been moved by Mr. Coles.
Second. Mr. Cook.
Second by Mr. Cook. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? Mr. Noah, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Welch, how do you vote? Ms. Parker, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ms. Milton, how do you vote? Ms. Milton? Mr. Coles, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Cook, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Wawoody, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Branch, how do you vote?
Yes.
Chair votes yes. Motion carries. Next item, item four, notices, proclamations, acknowledgments, and be advised development plans have been submitted for review. We have three items that have been requested to be removed from the agenda. Item three, zoning map amendment for 24 Winer Drive. Item four, zoning map amendment for 135 Hampstead Avenue. And number five, zoning map amendment for 8427 through 8518 Whitfield Avenue. The chair will entertain a motion to remove those three items from the final agenda.
Move to remove them from the agenda. Karen.
Second, Coles.
Probably moved by Ms. Jarrett and second by Mr. Coles. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? Mr. Noah, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Welch? Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Milton? Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Cook?
Yes.
Mr. Wawoody?
Yes.
Mr. Branch?
Yes.
Chair votes yes. Motion carries. There are no items to be withdrawn, I see. There's nothing on the consent agenda. First item is old business. Item number six, subdivision 343 Buckholter Road, Rockingham Farms. Mr. Watson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The item before you at this time is a request for approval of a final plat for a proposed subdivision located on both sides of Veteran Parkway, the east side of Buckholter Road and west of Girard Avenue. The petitioner is proposing to divide approximately 1,100 acres into eight tracts of land, including road rights of way to serve the subject property. This is a exhibit of the final plat as shown. The petitioner is proposing to create these parcels pursuant to a future development for warehouse distribution facility on portions of these sites. As you know, and as we discussed in the pre-meeting, the development plan part of this proposal has been withdrawn by the petitioner, and what they're requesting today is approval of a subdivision only. This subdivision is required to be approved by the Metropolitan Planning Commission because it's a major subdivision and includes four or more lots. Subject properties will be accessed by a proposed public road, yet to be named, Road A, located here, which will have 150-foot right-of-way, and Road B, located here, which will have 125-foot right-of-way. These new proposed roads will serve the sites, and a new proposed road will serve the site on the side. In review of the subdivision regulations, the proposed subdivision does meet the minimum lot standards, road access, and other requirements related to subdividing property in the city of Savannah. I should have mentioned that this property was annexed by the city on June 25th of this year, so it is no longer an unincorporated Chatham. It is within the city of Savannah. However, all the properties that abut it are within unincorporated Chatham County. Staff is recommending approval of the subdivision as the proposed plat does meet the minimum requirements for subdivision in the city of Savannah. I will say that, you know, we've received a number of communications from neighbors regarding this petition, but primarily regarding the general development plan that had been submitted. The issues that were often discussed were really related to buffers, drainage, traffic, and some of those issues that are development related issues. Those are not issues that are subject to the subdivision regulations, but we do believe that at whatever point this development comes back before the Planning Commission, those issues will be raised during the development plan review process. But with that, staff is recommending approval of the subdivision, and I'll be happy to take any questions.
Questions of Mr. Lotson? Any questions of Mr. Lotson? Petitioner present?
No.
Petitioner is present. Please step forward and state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, the petitioner is Philip McCorkle. We're queuing him up if he is on the line. Hang on 1 second. Mr. Chairman, we have Steve Hall, who represents the petition, on the line as well. If he'd like to speak, we can make him available to the board.
Oh, and Mr. McCorkle, like I do, I'd much rather wait on him.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I said I would wait on Mr. McCorkle because I'm certain he would like to have something to say. I did see him on here earlier. See, Mr. Philip McCorkle is a panelist, but you can't get him in.
We don't show him as being logged in. I think he was on during the pre-meeting, though.
Okay. And you said we do have someone that can speak on behalf of the petition? Steve Hall? Lotson?
Yes,
sir. You tell me Steve Hall is present?
Yes, this is Steve Hall.
I'd like to speak, sir, if you would. State your name for the record and speak on behalf of the project itself.
My name is Steve Hall. I'm a managing partner in Rockingham Farms, LLC. We're requesting the approval of subdivision plat today, as Marcus mentioned, the issues that have been discussed prior, most of the issues that have been discussed are not in the past, as far as buffers and traffic and things of that nature are not applicable to the subdivision plat. We are submitting a plat that meets all the requirements and asking for no variances. So we'd ask for the board's approval today of the subdivision plat, please.
Any questions of Mr. Hall? There being none, I'm going to open this up. Any members of the public present?
We'd ask that any members of the public who wish to speak on this item, please use the raise your hand feature.
Here's if someone tried to come in. Last call, any members of the public present that wish to speak?
Mr. Chairman, we're moving those members of the public over right now.
It's the bottom one.
I've already put it.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
All right, we have an echo. Can you please lower the volume on whatever your receiver is?
Hello.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
All right, this is how we're going to do this, Mr. Howard, before you start. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. And understand that today we're not discussing anything about traffic. We're not discussing anything about buildings. It's simply about the subdivision. We're not discussing anything about buffers or berms or anything such as that nature. So having said that, please state your name for the record. And let me also add to that as well while I'm saying this, that matter will come back before the board with respect to any concerns you may have about anyone else who's listening as well about traffic, burns, buffers, buildings, et cetera. It's only about subdivision. So having said that, sir, please state your name for the record and you have 2 minutes.
All right, Chad Howard, I'd like to ask a question. There's a line coming off Buckalter Road Extension and heading to the new road. I'd like to know what that line is.
Mr. Lotson, can you clear up for Mr. Howard?
Mr. Chairman, I can't. I'm not clear on exactly what Mr. Howard is referring to. This may be a question that he and I have to get together on separately to answer, because I need to identify exactly which line he's referring to, unless he can clarify it for us here.
Okay. It says Buckalter Road Extension, and then it stops at the end, and then it gives a 90 degree to the east, but off of that is a checkered line, correct, where you hit in your yellow just a minute ago.
Okay.
And it heads towards the new road. Can somebody tell me what that line is?
Yes, sir. That's an access easement. That's a utility and access easement that extends from the right of way to this parcel.
So that will be a continuous road, is what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay, well, that's one promise out of the way right now. Okay. I'm just wondering, that is a county unmaintained road. Can we address that now, or do I have to wait till the plan comes in?
The plan comes in, sir.
Okay, well, I just reserve the right to speak when the plan comes in. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anyone else desirous of speaking?
Mr. Irvin, can you hear me now?
Hello, Mr. McCorkle. I can hear you clearly.
All right. I had to dial in. I could not get it to work on the screen. I apologize for being unable to speak earlier. And the only thing I was going to say was that we agree with the staff's recommendation and all the conditions on that recommendation. And I'm available to answer any questions anybody has.
Thank you, Mr. McCorkle. Very quickly, before I return back to the public, any quick questions from the commissioners or Mr. McCorkle? Returning back to the public portion of our hearing, any other members of the public wish to speak? There being none, any discussion by board members?
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. If you would, sir, please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, sir. My name is Bill Kovach. I am with the Coastal Empire Montessori Charter School. Last name is spelled K-O-V-A-C-H. And I just have a question trying to understand in the package under recommendations for approval, under one revised general note 14 to read as follows. That note talks about Buckhalter traffic on Buckhalter will be restricted with the exception of emergency vehicles and city maintenance vehicles, period, provided, however, traffic to and from the adjacent property gives a PIN number presently occupied by Coastal Empire Montessori School shall be allowed access on Buckhalter Road through the panhandle portion of Tract 2. My question is, does that the exception or the however pertain to the emergency vehicles and city maintenance vehicles, or is that just an exception for any type of traffic? It's a little confusing the way it's presented.
Mr. Chairman, I can clarify that if necessary.
Please do so.
Sir, that note that you're referring to does refer to both the school's traffic as well as emergency vehicle and city maintenance vehicle traffic.
Okay, so I mean we already have access at the school. We have access there, so this only pertains to, as far as the new subdevelopment goes, or subdivision goes, this only still pertains to access to that subdivision by emergency vehicles and city maintenance vehicles only?
Yes, and your traffic, should you choose to use it, although you do have, you know, other access to your property.
Got it. Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
I see we have Zane Brock. If you would, please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, sir. Zane Brock. I am at 335 Buckhalter Road, Savannah. Wanted to bring up a question about the plat here showing a 20-foot setback.
You're not talking setbacks yet, sir. Hold on. You're talking about the subdivision. You referenced the subdivision.
I thought that was part of the subdivision track because it's listed on the subdivision plan.
Oh, you were on point with the subdivision. My screen is very low right now, but go ahead. You may proceed.
That was my question there was considering the setback showing on the subdivision plan here. And if that is off the table, then fine. It will be at a later date, but yet the subdivision plan is being approved. Therefore, the 20-foot setback is being approved. Am I not correct?
You are correct with respect to the subdivision plats, the way they're listed. Mr. Watson, you want to chime in?
Yes, sir, Mr. Brock, that's correct, that the proposed or as identified setback on this plat is the required setback and is part of the subdivision approval, should it be approved today.
Mr. Brock, I apologize for jumping the gun on you on that one.
Okay.
May I add something, Mr. Irvin? This is Philip McCorkle. If I can help answer that, that's a minimum requirement in the subdivision ordinance. We all know that the buffer requirement is greater and the development standards is greater than 20 feet. We have to meet both. So there's no possibility that a building would be built 20 feet from the property line. That's just showing the minimum requirement. We meet the minimum requirement for the subdivision. But on the general development plan, we'll more than meet the requirements of the zoning ordinance. So this does not imply that the buildings will be constructed 20 feet from the property line.
Roger that. What is the setback itself for, as shown on the subdivision plan?
Well, the ordinance envisions buildings and I believe parking lots in the city ordinance. I'm not sure, but you know, most of the time you have a small piece of ground and there'll be a building set back from a street or a neighboring piece of property. And so you know, 20 feet, 40 feet, whatever the standard may be, means you can't build a building. And I think also a parking area with required parking space within that setback. But again, it's of no consequence in this development because the buffer will be built bigger than the setback.
That's correct, and it does relate to any development. So it is a development setback.
Roger that.
Chairman, this is Mr. Noah. I have a question.
Hold on, Mr. Noah. We're still at the public part of this. Any further members of the public? Thank you, Mr. Brock.
I defer to the councilwoman if she would like to take my time also.
Anyone else from members of the public that wish to speak before I turn it back over to my commissioners? If there being no additional, I'm opening the door for discussion. Noah.
Yes, sir, Chairman. If you could, as we're talking about that that area of the 20-foot rear setback, there's also an area that states Old Buckhalter Road, 30-foot right-of-way. Is that in addition to, is that right-of-way on this property or between the properties, or is, I would be asking Mr. Lotson that.
Mr. Noah, that right-of-way is not a part of this property.
So there would be, as this says, a 30-foot unopened right-of-way and a 20-foot rear setback according to this diagram, correct?
In this area I'm highlighting here?
Yes, sir.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any further discussion from the commissioners? Chair will entertain a motion.
Move for approval of staff recommendation, Mr. Cook.
This is Cole's second.
Properly moved by Mr. Cook and second by Mr. Coles. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? Mr. Noah, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Welch, how do you vote?
Yes.
Parker, how do you vote?
Yes.
Milton, how do you vote?
Yes.
Coles?
Yes.
Cook?
Yes.
Why Woody?
Yes.
Branch? Mr. Branch? Lost Mr. Branch. Chair votes yes, motion carries. Next item 8, text amendment. Mr. Lotz, I'm sorry. Next is item 7 under regular business, general development plan 7, East Corinne, Mr. Lotson.
The next item on the agenda is for 7 East Duran Avenue. The petitioner is requesting approval of a general development plan, a variance request for commercial development located on the east side of White Bluff Road between East Duran Avenue and East 73rd Street. This is within a BC zoning classification, community business. The request really is related to the subdivision of the property and the fact that it's currently abutted on 3 sides by streets. The subject property is shown here at the southeast corner of Duran Avenue and White Bluff Road. As you can see, it also has access to East 73rd Street on the south side of the property. The reason the petition is before you today is because there is a provision within the subdivision regulations that prohibits double frontage lots. So as you can see, this property has frontage on Duran Avenue as well as 73rd Street. The proposal is to divide this property into 3 developable lots for the purpose of redeveloping this commercial area with new businesses. It This is a general development plan that is under review by staff. And as you can see, the division of these properties will create three new lots, each of which will have frontage on two streets. Staff review of the general development plan, we do find that the development meets the development standards outside of the double frontage lot provision, which is a part of the subdivision regulations. This layout does allow, however, ingress and egress on multiple streets, which staff believes is a benefit to the redevelopment of this site. There'll be a right-in, right-out only curb cut along Durant Avenue located in this location. And then there'll also be access to 73rd Street on the south side for all the properties within this redevelopment site. This would permit better access and ingress and egress to and from the property and traffic circulation as well, as these will likely be uses that generate more traffic than is generated on the subject property now. These businesses on the property now are mostly vacant. They will be raised, so this will be an entirely new site. And based on the review of the requirement, staff does believe that because this condition typically applies to residential neighborhoods, that there can be relief justified in this case to permit a variance to the double frontage lot standard, or to allow that, I should say.
And they don't have the name of the restaurant.
Findings, right. Recommending approval of the variance request.
Also,
I'm happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
One quick second. Can you guys mute? I'm picking up some voices in the background from maybe one of the commissioners coming in or not. Any questions of Mr. Lotson?
This is Karen Jarrett. Traffic will be addressed at the general development plan stage.
Yeah, that is actually already being addressed. The petitioner is, this plan is being reviewed concurrently with the City of Savannah Traffic Engineering Department.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions of Mr. Lotson? Is the petitioner present? Mr. Lotson, do we have a petitioner present?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. If you will, please state your name for the record. You're the petitioner.
Yes, my name is Daniel Ben Israel. I'm the real estate development manager for Parker's Kitchen.
Anything further you wish to add other than what Mr. Lotson has said, sir?
Nope. I think he summed it up very well. I'd ask for your favorable opinion of the project, and we'd ask you to grant approval of the request.
Is it Mr. Dan Israel? Is that correct?
Daniel.
Daniel. Any questions of Mr. Daniel? There being none, the chair, anybody from the public present?
Mr. Chairman, we have one member of the public in the hearing room.
Hey, can that person please state their name for the record? And you have 2 minutes.
All I have on this is all I need. It's going to happen. Okay. Let's wait on that.
Yeah, you're on, so you can speak.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Artis Wood, Savannah citizen and chair of Scenic Chatham. And yes, I will be brief. Three sentences and two pictures. Mr. Parker, the petitioner, has distinguished himself by leading the effort to make Savannah litter-free. Now he has a wonderful opportunity to be the leader in turning Durin Avenue from a treeless, anyplace USA roadway into one that looks like beautiful Savannah. Although Mr. Parker will not need a variance for a sign that looks like this, and I don't know if you can see this, imagine how distinctive, how eye-catching, eye-level, and trend-setting this would look if it were like we have another one that Mr. Parker has done elsewhere, that one, and then the next one. That's almost a work of art. And I hope as the conceptual design continues that Mr. Parker and the developers will consider being at the forefront of changing and beautifying Durin. Thank you.
Questions of Ms. Wood?
Yep.
Thank you. Any other members of the public present?
No, sir. We don't have any hands.
Yeah, we'll entertain a motion.
Mrs. Coles, make the motion to approve the staff recommendation.
Second by Joe Welch.
Properly moved by Mr. Coles and seconded by Mr. Welch. Any discussion?
Mr. Noah?
Yes, Mr. Noah.
A question for staff. With the new design of Durin, will this fit in that plan as far as setbacks? And are they having to look forward, or is this the way it sits today, if that makes sense?
Yes, sir, Mr. Noah. This portion of Durin will not be impacted by the Durin project in a way that would impact these properties. And the applicant is aware of Project Durin and is designed to address any issues.
Thank you.
Any additional discussion? Any unreadiness? We're ready to take the vote. Mr. Noah, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Milton?
Yes.
Coles?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Wildwoody?
Yes.
Branch, still here? Chair votes yes, motion passes, motion carries. Next item, item 8, text amendment. Mr. Lotson?
Mr. Chairman, this is a proposed amendment to the text of the zoning ordinance applied for by the city of Savannah, and it's related to accessory dwelling units and also subdivision regulations. So the proposed amendment, let me back up just quickly. Accessory dwelling units, as many of you know, were brought over into the Savannah zoning ordinance when the new ordinance was adopted in September last year. And as a part of accessory dwelling units provisions, it established where they would be permitted and a number of conditions that would apply to them where they were permitted. Accessory dwelling units are defined as a structure used as an individual residential unit located on the same lot as a principal building. So they've been allowed to be permitted in a number of areas where we have a historic development pattern of accessory dwelling units, and as well in some areas that, based on the lot size, the city found that it would be appropriate to allow accessory dwelling units. Amongst all the conditions that are required in order to establish one, there is one in subsection E of that section that discusses architectural style. And it states that such use shall be designed in a similar architectural style as the principal building, states that in part. One issue the city has been having relative to enforcement is the sort of vagary of that portion of the ordinance. So in order to make it clearer, they're proposing some amended language to do that. So that amended language is seen here in red. It states that such use shall be designed and constructed in a similar architectural style as the principal dwelling to include building materials as well as roof and window configurations. They believe that that would give them the opportunity to be more specific as it relates to enforcing the architectural style portion of the zoning ordinance in this section. They also wanted to address height of principal buildings to ensure that the height did not exceed the height of the that the height of the accessory building did not exceed the height of the principal building. So that's the other language that's outlined here. In addition, they're bringing forth an owner occupancy requirement so that the principal structure is required to be occupied by the owner if an accessory dwelling unit is going to be permitted. In other words, it could not be a situation where you have the principal structure as a rental as well as the accessory structure. In addition to that, in a discussion around non-conforming lots, this is related to the subdivision process. The city is also suggesting to add section 11.5.5, seen here in red, that states any non-conforming lot as outlined in this section shall be required to comply with the approved subdivision plat approval process as outlined in the subdivision ordinance. And this is not related to accessory dwelling units, but it is another section that the city wanted to clarify the use and subdivision of existing non-conforming lots to ensure that they go through the subdivision process and are not changed administratively through court proceedings, through the assessor's office or any other administrative process, and that the subdivision regulations would apply to these lots. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Mr. Lotson? There being no question, Mr. Lotson's petition. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Wait, no. Just so I understand this, non-conforming lot cannot become more non-conforming, but if there were adjacent lots, they could become less non-conforming. Is that correct, by combination?
That's correct, Mr. Noah.
Thank you so much.
Any additional questions of Mr. Lotson? Petitioner present?
I think we might have city staff on the line, Mr. Chairman, that may have comments.
I see Ms. Liddy.
Okay.
Any comment, Ms. Liddy?
I don't think she has any comment at this time, Mr. Chairman.
I guess not. I don't see an unmuted mic yet. Any members of the public present? Ms. Liddy says she can't get in.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
This is Karen Jarrett. Is it possible to ask Ms. Zinn to mute? She's getting some background noise coming in.
Yeah, I just sent her a message. I asked her that, and I think I don't know if she's still there or not. And Ms. Liddy sent me a message. Ms. Liddy, would you like to comment? As she just can't get in. Okay, Ms. Liddy says she's good, no comments. All right, Ms. Liddy is good, no comments. We have no member of the public to discuss on this matter. Chair will entertain a motion.
This is Coles. I make the motion that we approve the staff's recommendation in the text amendment.
Properly moved by Mr. Coles, second.
Seconded by Tom Wywoody.
Seconded by Mr. Wywood. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? Noah, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Welch, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Milton? Milton?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Cook?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
Branch, if you're still there. Chair votes yes, motion carries. Next item on the agenda is item 9, zoning map amendment. Mr. Holloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, at issue is a request to rezone 5820 Ogeechee Road from the RA zoning district to the BN zoning district. Up on the screen, you'll be able to see the vicinity map with the site pointed out along Ogeechee Road. To the south is Abercorn Street and Highway 17. Here is an aerial image of the property as it currently sits. And it's also important to note that it is a conforming 1.09 acre parcel currently in the RA zoning district, and it operates as a home-based business. The parcel is a remnant property due to the widening of Ogeechee Road and has very odd lot dimensions, as you can see, not much depth, but a lot of frontage along Ogeechee Road. The owners of the property and business would like to make the property a full-time office for their painting company, which would be able to accommodate subcontractors and employees on site. Right now, home-based businesses cannot accept that amount of trips with subcontractors or other additional employees. It's important to note that as of this morning, staff had not received any correspondence from the public regarding this petition as well. And to highlight the property a bit more, the subject property currently consists of a residential structure that you can see here with the darker roof, and then two accessory structures with the red color roof. A variance was granted to allow the location of these two accessory structures, and the property is surrounded by the north by other residentially zoned properties and bounded by Ogeechee Road to the south. The aerial map, actually the zoning map, let me pull that up for just a moment. The zoning map shows all the surrounding parcels as being zoned RA. Across the street, there is some PBC to the southwest, marsh directly across Ogeechee Road, and some marsh directly to the east as well. It's important to note that the RA zoning district, and staff has found that the RA zoning district allows for certain non-residential type uses that are compatible with the surrounding area and overall character of the rural residential area. However, an office use is not compatible based upon review of the existing ordinances. By rezoning the subject property to BN, it would allow a multitude of uses that are distinctly incompatible with the surrounding area that is also zoned RA, with uses presenting themselves such as gas stations, which would be a use by right. The intensity of the uses as well and the trips generated due to this could also be detrimental to future points of access and could create road and access issues on the subject parcel. Furthermore, the county future land use plan calls for this area and the surrounding parcels to be planned residential, and rezoning this property would be inconsistent against said plan. Finally, two accessory structures, these two ones right here with the red roof that you see, exist on the subject property. They would become non-conforming based on their location if the property were to be rezoned. Is also in direct opposition to the intent and regulations set forth by the ordinance to create a non-conforming parcel and or use. Should this parcel be rezoned and redeveloped, appropriate buffering would be needed to protect future development on the surrounding parcels. It's also important to remind you guys that the existing use is residential now and is just a home-based business. If it were to be rezoned, the residential use would go away and it would just be the office use. For all of the points mentioned previously, staff is recommending that the MPC deny the rezoning request as brought forth by the petitioner. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Questions of Mr. Holloway.
This is Karen. Is it future land use planned residential or planned development? I saw planned development.
Yes, I apologize. Planned development.
Which does include commercial.
It can in certain circumstances, certainly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Further questions of Mr. Holloway? The petition, I'm sorry. Any further questions, Mr. Holloway? Is the petitioner present?
Yes.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Calvin Norris. Operation manager for the home-based business here, Pastel Painting. We are requesting this lot to be rezoned commercial due to several citations we have got in the past from the county due to having subcontractors here coming to this location back and forth. So in order to make sure we stay in compliance, I want to see about getting this rezoned commercial so we would no longer get citations in the future.
Any questions of Mr. Norris?
This is Karen again. Mr. Norris, have you talked with staff at all to see if there was any other alternative?
I have.
And you haven't been able to come up with a resolution?
Not at this time.
Okay. Would you be willing to continue discussing this with staff and try and come up with a resolution?
That is the option, but my end goal, I do want to eventually, you know, have this rezoned. I mean, I have all the time in the world. I can wait. We can discuss, but I do want this to be rezoned if possible.
All right. Thank you.
I have a question. Other questions? Mr. Norris?
Yes.
I have a question.
Mr. Wildwoody?
Mr. Norris, are you aware that if your petition is denied today, what the ramifications for you would be?
No, I'm not.
Mr. Chairman, could you help him, or Mr. Lotson, could you help him understand what the ramifications of a denial today would be?
Mr. Holloway, please.
Yes, if the county denies the petition for rezoning, he cannot reapply for rezoning for a year.
Okay.
Mr. Noah for the chairman.
Noah, yes.
Could you please, in that same statement about not applying for rezoning for a year, what his options today would be? Or could be.
Very well. Norris, sure. If you are desirous of having a discussion further with staff regarding trying to find a pathway to resolution, you can ask this board to continue this matter. We can do that if you would like, to allow you an opportunity to enter into further discussions, Mr. Norris, with MPC staff. That is your option, or we can take a vote. That is your option as well.
Okay.
Would you like us to take a vote or continue the matter?
I did have a quick question. Now, if it was approved to be rezoned, if I'm understanding, the two additional buildings, the two with the red tops, is it my understanding that they would need to be removed if the rezoning is approved?
Let me clear my throat a little bit. And I ask Mr. Holloway to answer that. As you understand, it is staff's recommendation to deny your request for approving change zoning. That is their recommendation. So I haven't said that, I'll say anything further. Holloway, I will allow you to answer the balance of that. If the board were to approve the zoning as requested, the question is, would those buildings have to remove? I believe that's the question. Is that correct, Mr. Norris?
Yes.
If you would, Mr. Holloway, could you answer that question rather quickly?
Yes, sir. So if it were to be rezoned and the rezoning was approved, those buildings would not have to be torn down. They would just be a nonconformity.
Okay.
Having said that, having given you your options, would you like us to continue going forward?
We can do a continuous and to see what other options I have.
So are you requesting us to continue this matter, Mr. Norris?
Yes, correct.
Okay, Mr. Norris has requested us to continue this matter. Mr. Holloway, I believe our next meeting will be September 22nd. Is that correct?
I believe so, and I would recommend that we continue this for at least two meetings just to give staff further time and ample time to discuss with the petitioner.
I do not have my calendar in front of me, so if not the 22nd, what would the next meeting be? Would it be the 6th or something like that of October?
It would be October 13th, sir.
October 13th. So the chair will entertain. Back up a bit. I don't think I have any member of the public present. The chair will entertain a motion to continue this matter to October 13th, 2020 meeting.
Noah, motion to continue.
Cole, second.
Motion has been made to continue this matter on behalf of Mr. Norris to the October 13th, 2020 meeting, and has been second. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? Mr. Noah, how do you vote?
Yes.
Jared, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Welch, how do you vote?
Yes.
How do you vote?
Yes.
Milton, how do you vote?
Yes.
Coles, how do you vote?
Yes.
Cook, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Y. Woody, how do you vote?
Yes.
Frank, are you there? Gone. And the chair votes yes. Motion carries. This matter has been continued, Mr. Norris, until the October 13th, 2020 docket, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Item number 10, zoning map amendment. Mr. Holloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, at issue is a request to rezone two subject parcels. They are 111 and 113 West Anderson Street. You can see them here on your screen, highlighted in yellow. A bit more description is bounded by Bernard Street on the west and Whitaker Street on the east and Anderson Street on the north. The subject properties are in the TN1 zoning district, which is within the metropolitan neighborhood. The block along West Anderson Street consists of three duplex homes, two single-family homes, one multifamily home, one place of worship, a parking lot, and one commercial/residential building, all within this block along Anderson Street. The subject property most recently operated as a work studio. Prior to this, it was foreclosed upon property that was owned by the bank. To give you a bit more description, each one of these parcels is 0.12 acres for a combined total of 0.24 acres. Each of those lots individually are conforming lots, and the building that sits upon both parcels is roughly 1,500 square feet. It's also important to note that it has a paved parking lot that can accommodate up to 10 vehicles. As you can see here in this picture, this is from street view. The building is set back, parking lot out here in the front. And it's also important to note that there is potential to accommodate additional parking in the rear, as you can see here in this brown area, accessed via this lane. It's important to note also that letters of support have been submitted to the MPC from both directly adjacent properties and property owners at 103 West Anderson and 115 West Anderson. Also want to highlight the zoning designations in these areas. The subject properties are highlighted here in black within the TN1 zoning district. To the south is the TN2 zoning district with the TC1 zoning district to the east. The intent of the TN1 zoning district is to ensure vibrancy of historic residential neighborhoods with traditional development patterns, characteristic of the city from 1890 to about 1920 during the streetcar era. While the district provides for primarily residential uses, it also includes limited non-residential uses that are considered compatible with the residential character of the neighborhood. The intent of the TN3 zoning district is quite similar in regards to ensuring vibrancy of the historic residential neighborhoods with traditional development patterns. A little bit later in era from 1890 to 1946 up to early automobile eras. And it also is intended to allow limited neighborhood serving uses and mixed uses located in predominantly residential areas. However, those uses are substantially different than that of the TN1 zoning district. It's also important to note that the comprehensive plan and future land use map call for these parcels to be traditional neighborhood. Now, while if the parcel were to be rezoned to TN3, it'd be in keeping with that traditional neighborhood designation, it would be a different kind of character and traditional neighborhood design. The petitioner has indicated that a veterinary clinic and animal services would fill a community need in the neighborhood and has provided letters of support from the property owners. Beyond this one use, the TN3 zoning district does not provide uses that are any more suitable than those of the TN1 zoning district, which is currently zoned. Being that the surrounding parcels are all residential, the character of the area should remain strongly linked to these residential type uses. It's also important to note that the zoning proposal is not compatible with the present zoning pattern and the conforming uses of nearby property and character of the surrounding area. The TN1 zoning district regulations call for non-residential uses to be located on corner lots. As we go back to the aerial map, you can see this is a mid-block location. So the fact that the subject properties are operating as a non-residential use is contrary to the intent of the ordinance as it currently stands. The TN3 zoning district does not allow for single-family, two-family, or multifamily residential uses, which would effectively outlaw any future residential use at this location. The TN3 zoning district would potentially change the character of this area, considering all the surrounding properties that are residential uses. So as the current regulations that are laid forth in the TN1 zoning district, it does allow some non-residential uses and types as they are a benefit to the surrounding properties and neighborhood overall. Because of this intent, the ordinance calls for all non-residential uses to be located on corner lots. The non-residential uses are those that are considered to be compatible with residential character of the neighborhood. The fact that the property currently exists as non-residential type use is in contrast to the ordinance requirements and vision for this neighborhood, and an animal use is not in keeping with the intent of the ordinance or character of the neighborhood as well. Changing the subject properties to the TN3 zoning district would be in contradiction to the ordinance in this area, especially mid-block, as it is intended to remain residential. However, the TN3 zoning district does not allow single family, two family, or multifamily as previously stated. And it's important to note that as it could not return to residential unless a request for rezoning was to be submitted at a further date. The TN3 zoning district also allows for uses that would be incompatible with the surrounding residences of the block, such as a restaurant, catering establishment, repair-oriented services, psychic, palmist, medium, fortune teller, personal service shop, and business support services. The merits of this request should be judged upon all allowable uses within the TN3 zoning district and not just that of animal services as the petitioner is requesting, as more intense uses that are allowed within the TN3 zoning district would contrast with the uses and highly residential character within the TN1 and TN2 zoning districts. And it is for these points that staff recommends that the Planning Commission deny the petitioner's request to change the zoning at 111-113 West Anderson Street to the TN3 zoning district. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Questions of Mr. Hollowood? Is the petitioner present?
Yes, hello, Barbara Zinn here.
Proceed, Ms. Zinn.
Okay, thank you. I'm here as the petitioner on behalf of my son, John. My husband is here with us as well, Tom Zinn. Tom, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. So yeah. I'll just finish this and then he can talk after I'm done. We've spent many years here in Savannah doing excellent preservation work, and we are very caring in terms of what's appropriate use and what isn't. Our hearts are invested in Savannah. The subject property has been my son's home and workstation since 2012, and he has made a decision to sell his property. When approached about this holistic veterinarian office by Dr. Van Kinsey, who has an existing practice in St. Simon. She is a licensed veterinarian. I was quite excited. I thought it was the perfect type of practice for the Victorian neighborhood and the perfect location and the perfect property. Her practice is different in that there's no boarding, no surgeries, no outside runs. Her mission statement is centralized around just solely around small, convenient, personalized neighborhood practice, focusing on wellness and preventative care. So it's a kind of a unique new type of veterinarian services. So we were all really excited. Since there had been a dental office there for years, I assumed conformity, if I'm using the right word, I may not be, but however, upon seeking clarification from our zoning office, even though it seemed to be completely in line with the compatibility of the TN line, I became somewhat confused about that. And just to speak for a second about compatibility, you know, there's no adverse effect. You know, it's a very high traffic count. It's a one-way street with very high traffic count. This property has a huge 10-car parking lot that serves as a buffer from the sidewalk. And the building is set way back. And there's also more parking in the back. The neighbors on each side have written letters in support. You know, they're very excited about it. The Victoria Neighborhood Board voted that it's a great, great thing for the neighborhood. And the other surrounding properties are multi-housing. And there are, you know, many, many different, like I think maybe a sixplex. I would have to check on that, but they're multi-housing. And the bar restaurant, the Rabbit, I don't know if that's the name of it, but it's this little bar right at 1215 Barnard, when you walk out of the parking lot at Anderson, you know, you're looking at that. And so it just seems like there's a lot of different personalities, and it works well, but I think mostly because it is a one-way street. It's very, very, very busy street. I think that, you know, one of the issues too is that the medical needs of pets, the fact that you can't find a property that can accommodate something like this anymore. There's such a shortage of and the properties are so expensive that, you know, people want to put large buildings on, because this is a really big piece of property. To summarize, I'm really hoping that we can work something out. As I said, I assumed that the TN1 would work, and however, when I called our zoning office, I became a little confused. And I didn't want to try to take any sort of leap in terms of rezoning, but it was my understanding after several conversations, it seemingly was only my only option, you know, was to apply for something that could help this wonderful service, you know, very quiet, professional community. You know, her mission statement is, you know, solely small, convenient, personalized. I think, Tom, do you want to pick it up from here?
Sure.
Because I just want to say one little thing. There were many people who would have come on board today to speak in support of us. You know, I'm just so proud of our work over the years in the historic district and the Victorian neighborhood, and you know, we've won preservation awards, and I mean, people know that our intentions are, you know, we don't want to see a sixplex or tenplex on that property. You know, this holistic small vet office is just as community as you can get. And so, especially given the character already right there, that it's was a dental office for years, you know, it's one more single house there is not going to, you know, it's, well, Tom, you better take over. I say too much. I get in trouble when I speak too much.
No, thank you, Barbara. I appreciate you all giving us the opportunity to talk today with regard to our request to move forward. And again, we have a, my son has a buyer for the property. There's a signed contract. And we believe there's a window of opportunity, not only for him, but the neighbors believe there's a window of opportunity for them. To the best of my knowledge, the entire Victorian District Board believes that there's a window of opportunity for them, as well as we believe for the entire city of Savannah, to put what we think to be the ideal use on this property with the ideal bit of area. How to get there.
Hold on.
Sorry.
That's some background noise. So unmute Mr. Welch's phone for me. All right.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Zen, are you still there?
I'm here. Now.
All right. And the one thing I didn't do, I didn't ask you to state your name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Tom Zen, husband of Barbara. Now the path to get there, initially that Barbara had filed for was to apply for a TN3. Upon reading the staff report, you know, that obviously was apparently a mistake, and use under the existing TN1 is, we believe, the route that makes the most sense for a lot of reasons. And I'll go into the many reasons why that makes sense, or many reasons why this is a true window of opportunity for everyone really to move ahead with a fabulous use and a fabulous location. Perhaps the best way to give this detail is to go through the staff report and to make comments on things in the staff report as it applies to keeping the use as a TN1 rather than converting it to a TN3, and having this be a use which is more a non-altering of use rather than it's really a maintaining of a historic use from as far back as anybody can remember, meaning the dentist office and studios and the type of holistic pet operations are much more consistent with a three-plex or six-plex or, you know, a residential use on this site.
Here's what I have. See, I told him I need.
Hold on, Joe. I'm sorry. You may continue.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And the building itself is a single story concrete block building, obviously not the type of building that you use for residential. It's got, like Jordan mentioned, 10 parking spaces in the front, 5 parking spaces on the side. Unless there's a dramatic redevelopment of the parcel, obviously it's, you know, it's not designed and size and best use is not residential. But moving on, and I'll go through this as quickly as practical, but I would like to go through the report, the staff report, you know, the first paragraph.
Slow you down, Mr. Zen. I want you to highlight the parts that you feel are germane so we can move forward.
Oh, I can do it?
I said the parts you wish to refute.
Okay, under the background.
Yes, sir.
Clearly, you'll see there that the street consists of duplex homes, two single-family homes, a multi-family home, one place of worship, a parking lot, one commercial residential building. If you go in a surrounding area, take an aerial, there's many churches, there's many parking lots, there's all kinds of stuff there. It's truly a mixed-use community. It's not a primarily residential community, although in our particular block, meaning on the block to the south and on Anderson, certainly there's more residential, but if you do the aerial, is a different kind of a mixture. So it's really a mixed use community more than a residential community. And recently has been used as a work studio, the last 30 years probably or so, since the 50 years or however long the dentist operation was in. It was designed not as a residential, but it was designed as a commercial property with as many as 15 parking spaces, 10 in the front, many perhaps as many as 5 in the back, on it with a 1500 square foot building, which would relate to a Florida area ratio of approximately 14%, which obviously is one of the lowest Florida area ratios of in the Victorian district. So there's plenty of space. There's actually green space. There's pine trees. There's the parking lots and so forth and so on. And in terms of spaces per square feet, there's actually one space per 100 square feet. So this certainly does not contribute to problems with regard to parking in the neighborhood. In fact, to the best of my knowledge, there's never a charge for parking, so it's actually being used to help solve the parking problems of that exist during the Forsyth Park and other downtown events. At least historically, we've done it without any compensation whatsoever. The neighbors, again, they don't want, I don't think that they want a traditional residential here. The neighbors, I think, want to have it continue with the use that it has, and the unanimity of the Victorian district board is in concurrence with that. Turning to the next page, if we under number two don't.
Mr. Zinn, can I slow you down a bit? Let me ask you a quick question.
Sure.
And I might be interjecting quickly. And I might need some input from staff. Currently, as I understand this, this is currently zoned to take an office. Am I correct, Mr. Holloway?
Can you repeat that, sir?
As zoned, they can use this as an office. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And it's important to note that in TN1, it does not have to stay strictly residential. There are a multitude of non-residential type uses that are allowed, just not the animal use for a vet office that the petitioner is requesting.
So let me ask a question, because I'm trying to get clarification here, because I can't manipulate my screen here. The veterinarian facility itself, are you proposing that's going to be used as a kennel?
No.
Oh.
Can I be heard right now?
Yes.
Let me see if I can clear through something real quick. So we're just talking about using this only as an office, like a doctor's office, like a dentist's office.
Absolutely. She is committed, and she's given me her business plan, and it's not for surgery. There'll be no boarding. There'll be no outside runs. It's just a very simple, holistic office for if somebody 5 doors down or 3 blocks away, the dog is needing its wellness shots, or it's a holistic approach. So it's not, she doesn't do invasive. And I mean, there'd be hardly any increased traffic count, foot count. It's a huge parking lot. It's just like, it's a unique block, and it's a unique property. And then this unique holistic veterinarian came to me, and I was like, wow, this is, again, because somebody like that isn't going to find, it's $1 million if it was in the historic district.
Well, let me tell you what my thoughts are. My thoughts are, and I'm probably jumping the gun because I'm looking at our time. My thoughts are this could probably be handled in the current zoning that we have. That's my thoughts.
That would be odd.
Now, I'm going to step my foot in it as I deal with Mr. Norris. And I'm jumping ahead of myself completely, but I'm doing this for two purposes. One, you've asked to change the zoning. And as you've heard, staff's recommendation. Question to you would be, if it is at all possible for us to work with you, for staff to work with you in order to get this under current zoning, is that something you would like to entertain?
Absolutely.
That's what we're proposing, actually.
Okay, so let me help you a bit. What I would ask you to do would be, and listen to me carefully, we could continue this matter at your request to allow staff to take a look at current zoning and see if it can be used as it is in current zoning.
We wanted to work out, under the TN1 for sure, because it's very different than, I think the animal services thing raises flags when, you have like somebody's boarding them or they have outside runs or, this is even from a sound standpoint, this building is incredibly well soundproofed by the nature of its building, but the way it's built, but it's also she's going to have those 52 rated walls. So you it'll probably be the quietest spot on the block, really. It's just a very simple, like I said, it's going to be beautiful, her landscaping, and it's going to be a beautiful special place that all offers. Right, okay.
I want to ask the question a different way. Would you like this matter to be continued so staff can review this more intensively?
Tom, I do.
We definitely want to go the direction of the TN1, and we've always wanted to go in the direction of the route that got us to the end game, which is just to allow this particular use on this particular property. And TN1, we think it fits. TN3 is more for a kennel or an elder, animal shelter or doggy hotel or
agreed.
Something that's not what we're looking for here. So we would be more than happy to do, continue it or continue now, either way, to request the TN1 within a TN1, the allowance of this particular buyer to do their holistic animal veterinarian practice.
Mr. Holloway, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Since we helped out Mr. Norris, I want to try and help out the Zins as well. If you were to take an opportunity to review this, how long would you need to review this and bring it back to us again?
That question is
at the next meeting.
Next meeting. Okay. That'll be the September 22nd.
From our standpoint, we're literally available 24/7. So
he just means yeah, the meet next meeting. Right. Yeah, that would be great.
In terms of our availability, that would be fabulous to do it as soon as practical. We do have a buyer.
Question: are you asking this board to continue this matter until September 22nd?
Yes.
Okay. Petitioners have asked us to continue this matter to September 22nd. Here, we'll entertain a motion.
Karen Jarrett, move to continue.
Second, Coles.
And properly moved by Ms. Jarrett and seconded by Mr. Coles. Any discussion?
Yes, sir, Mr. Noah.
Yes, Mr. Noah.
Is anyone here to speak from the public?
Yes, there is one person from the public that would like to speak.
Okay.
We have a member, but thank you, Mr. Noah.
Yes, sir.
We have a member from the public that would like to speak. I will say this: as matter is being continued. It has been requested to be continued. I put it that way, rather. It's not been voted on. If you would, member of the public, I will give you 2 minutes to be very brief. State your name.
Okay, this is Peggy Hegarty. I received a notice. For this rezoning application, I have a townhouse about one block away. And I would like to start out saying that when you vote for a rezoning, you're not voting for a person or company. You're voting for a permanent change in the land use. So regardless of who might be under contract, you know, someone else could move in and be entirely different. So, and also I consider this application to be a spot zoning request, and a request like this damages the integrity and strength of the land use plan and the zoning district. I mean, the reason it is not a permitted use in TN1 is because of the animals there, the dogs that would be barking. And I feel like a vet clinic is not appropriate at this location. I would like to see something that is permitted at that location. It could be redeveloped into a multifamily building, or it could be used for a permitted use that is an office, or, you know, a dental office and a studio are permitted in the TM1. A vet clinic is not. But I will attend the next meeting as well.
Thank you so much, Ms. Haggerty. All right, we have a motion that has been moved and second. Any discussion from the board? Any unreadiness? The motion is to continue this matter to September 22nd, 2020, meeting of the commission. Any unreadiness? We're ready to vote. Mr. Noah, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Welch?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Milton?
Yes.
Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Cook?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
Chair votes to continue it as well. Motion carried. See you on the 22nd, Ms. Zinn and Ms. Haggerty. We'll see you as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Bye-bye. Have a good evening.
There being no presentations, we have other business, a report from the nominating committee.
Good afternoon. This is Karen Jarrett with the nominating committee. After some discussion and talking with potential candidates, we do have a slate of candidates. At this point, we have Mr. Ellis Cook for chair, Joseph Welch for vice chair, Karen Jarrett for secretary, and Eula Parker for treasurer. And obviously, we will entertain any additional nominations now.
The floor is open for nominations. Going once, going twice. Went three times. The floor is now closed for nominations. You now have your slate of officers for the incoming for the Metropolitan Planning Commission has been presented by Ms. Jarrett. And thank you for your service to the board, Ms. Jarrett, and your committee. Thank you so much. We'll have a vote on that. What date is the vote for the officer, that'd be at the 22nd meeting, I think September 22nd. We have a vote then. All right. I'm sorry.
Chairman, I have one question. These will be for a term of?
1 year.
One year.
Thank you.
Although Robert Rule said I did not have to close this, but motion to close nominating.
Make a motion.
Go ahead. I'm making a motion to close the nominations for office. Is there a motion? They're properly moved, second. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? You know how to vote?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Milton?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Cook?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
Chair votes yes as well. Your slate of candidates has been presented for voting for the next meeting of September 22nd. The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Coles.
So moved. Thank you all for your service. We stand adjourned. Thank you.